So I just have a few announcements. The first one is a new website. To make it easy for people to find Ganesh Puri Days, because it's been a little tricky. We've been the only bookseller up until now, since it's been released. But now it's available on Kindle, and for all you overseas devotees, it's also print on demand on Amazon. So take advantage. It's a beautiful website that the online team has put together, and we're very grateful to their hard work. And don't forget our Swamiji's podcasts and the other online programs, Ashram Online. Tell your friends and family if they're bored. They can certainly join in and take part. And also Swamiji's blog at swamishankarananda.com. Check that out also. And don't forget Facebook, Swamiji's spontaneous programs during the week. You might miss out on something great.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to tonight's satsang, tonight's Baba's birthday satsang. And I was very impressed. That was first-class discipleship.
Say,
what? Not mine, yours. They say that the first-class disciple, just the hint from the guru, and they do it. But the dull kind of disciple has to be beaten over the head to get the message, but that was very good. I'm very proud of you. So I'd like to welcome everyone welcoming you the way Baba used to welcome everyone in every program. He used to say in Hindi, Sabko bade sammane ke saath prem se hardik swagat. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. And he would always say that that's the essence of spirituality, to welcome another person with an open heart. And I also want to welcome everyone on the Universal Satsang on the internet, watching from around the world. Happy Baba's birthday to all of you. Let's see, New York and in Ann Arbor, and in Illinois, and in Detroit, and in the UK, and Taiwan, in Canada, and in Serbia, and in Germany, and in Japan, and all around Australia, in Adelaide and South Australia, from several places there. I just heard a report that there are no existing cases of the virus in South Australia, which is a pretty good performance. So I was thinking about it, you know, that the first reaction to the virus was fear. There was terror. The whole world was filled with terror. And we were terrified of doorknobs, terrified of everything. And then after that, another thing set in, which is impatience. Now everyone wants to go back to normal. And so we have to curb that enthusiasm. And then there's also a wave of despair. So you have to be aware of these enemies that come up. Fear and sorrow, impatience, all these things. This is a wonderful test of the guru. It's many things, on many levels, but also it's a great spiritual test to hold our equanimity in times of travail, times of difficulty. So don't give way to despair. If despair comes up, don't give way to it. When impatience comes up, be calm, be patient, be very patient. And when fear comes up, don't give way to that fear. So hold on, it's a wonderful test. The guru, the universal guru, is very happy to be torturing us this way. And so, South Australia, congratulations. In Queensland, a lot of people watching in Queensland, welcome. New South Wales also, hello. And all around Melbourne, in Melbourne City, and around Victoria, and lots of people watching down on the peninsula. And it's very nice to see you, your virtual form in Radio Land. So welcome. So tonight, of course, I always like to do something special for Baba's birthday. And this is, today's the actual day of his birthday, May 16th. He was born May 16th, 1908, so it's 112 years. I go to my secret stash of transcripts, undigested, unedited transcripts of Baba's talks. And so I got something very nice for tonight. First couple of photographs. Actually, these transcripts are from New York in 1979, but we chose some photographs from Ganeshpuri Baba. And these are beautiful photographs from Baba in Ganeshpuri, around the time that I met him. Next. That was taken during my years there. That's the entryway to what was then the meditation hall, and now it's his samadhi shrine. He's buried it through that doorway there. Yeah. That's Baba in Ganeshpuri. That it? Okay. So now we go to May the 2nd, 1979. I wasn't there at that time. I was running the Los Angeles ashram, and this was in Fallsburg, 1979. I think that was the first year that they had the Fallsburg ashram. The Baba says, Satgurunath Maharaj Ki Jai. With great respect and love, I welcome you all with all my heart. So he must have said in Hindi, what did he say? Sabko varisammani ke saad premse dik swagat. He said, I say this every day because this is the way I perform worship. A person should welcome another person. To truly receive this welcome, you have to become worthy through your inner action and your outer action. Not only that, you have to become very clean and very pure to receive this welcome. In every way, you should be very disciplined. More than anything else, a person should learn how to live on his own work rather than depending on someone else for his livelihood. Bob was very old school in this. He liked people to get their shit together. That's what he liked. To be very proactive, very active, to work hard, meditate hard, and be self-sufficient. If you depend on somebody for your livelihood, for your food, for your accommodation, when you're strong enough to work, when you're healthy enough to work, then you're lazy. It's not really good. A person should become really active, if not for 6 hours, at least work for 3 hours. Just work. Anyway, this welcome is the path, the true path. This is the best sadhana. This is the best mantra. This is the main road to the abode of God. To look on another person with respect and to welcome another person with reverence. Inside man, God lives. He is manifest, though concealed. He cannot reveal himself. He doesn't reveal himself anywhere else but in the heart. Therefore, it's very necessary to look upon another person with respect and welcome another person with reverence. Last night there was a question, and I told you tonight I was going to answer it. So on the previous night, somebody asked a question about seva, guru seva. And so it's very appropriate that Devi Ma spoke about her seva of the Siddha path. Of course, service to the guru is a great road. Actually, if you would ask me what's your main method, I would have to say it's serving the guru. Because when you serve the guru, you serve the Shakti. When you serve the Shakti, you serve God. And when you serve all of that, you serve your highest truth and your highest self. Question. Dear Baba, would you please talk about Guru Seva and explain how it is an independent path to liberation? So the night before, Baba said, that's a very good question. I'll take it up tomorrow night. So now he's taking it up. And Baba says, this statement or question comes from there, from the other side of the world. I don't know what he means by that. But maybe it did come from
somewhere. Somebody wrote a letter.
Somebody wrote a letter from somewhere, from Europe or somewhere. Anyway, he says, this question is predominant in Sufism, Shaivism, and Hinduism. This is the important and profound question. The scientists may not believe in this. Why? Science is new and this is ancient. Very old. Americans of the new generation may feel, why do this? Just read books and do everything. Just read about spirituality. What do you understand just by reading books? You experience so many diseases in this body and undergo so much pain. Still, you don't understand how this pain increases and where it comes from. So just by reading books, what are you going to understand when you can't even understand how you experience the pain of a disease in this very body? Once a reporter told me, here we have so many factories. We have the mine of factories. It's like the gold mine of factories. In the American mine is filled with factories. What do you have in your country? I said, in India, we have philosophies. We have the mine of philosophies. So we have the mine of philosophies. He kept quiet. In the same way, one of the main philosophies is Shaivism. It is also called the Shiva Sutras. The Shiva Sutras, of course, is the original text in Kashmir Shaivism. One of the aphorisms says, if you want to attain the principle, if you want to attain the law, if you want to attain the highest truth, as long as you haven't received the grace of the guru, it does not become easy. It must be the sutra Guru Rupaya. The guru is the means. The guru is the means to the truth. Baba says, what Shaivism says is completely true. It has got to be true because our experience now, though God is manifest, we think he's concealed. So even though God is manifest, we don't see him. Even though he's apparent, even though he's right here now, now God is not concealed like other things that are under the earth, for example, the minerals, the petrol and uranium, under one rock or other, under the earth. However, God hasn't hid himself in that way anywhere. So you have to receive the grace of the guru. Otherwise, you know that you don't see God. The Bhagavad is saying, even though God is obvious, without the guru's grace, without the awakening of the inner shakti, the kundalini energy, he's invisible. Though he's manifest, you can't see him. Even though he's inside us, we can't even assume, we can't even feel, we can't even know that he's there or not. So our life proves that it's very important to perform selfless service, seva, and receive the grace of the guru. Guru seva is an independent path to liberation. Also, it is fearless. Seva is mysterious. There's a lot to understand about it. People may think that guru seva means you have to be in the physical presence of the guru and massage his legs and massage his arms and feed him some food and give him some money and give him some hats or wear his photo around your neck and just go around and speak sweetly to him. This is what you may think guru seva means. I'll tell you a short story of Sufism. Then we'll chant the name of God, because tonight usually we chant the name of God. And after my talk, by the way, we're going to chant Om Namah Shivaya with Baba, and also do a Guru Puja with the sandals, and then we'll meditate in a little while. Once there was a great Sufi saint called Baba Musa. Two friends went to see him to be initiated. They told him, "Show us the path to God." Baba says, "The path of God is very easy for a guru. However, it's not that easy for a disciple." For the guru, it's very easy, not for the disciple. You don't understand just by doing this. He said, "Both of you should go and work in the field." The very next day, both of them started working in the field, doing ashram seva, working in the garden. They kept working there. 6 months passed by. They kept working and just ate their food. After 6 months, one of them began to wonder. "Even in my town, there is a field. I can work in the field where I am. I came here to learn about God. But he's made me work in the garden and the fields." He told his friend Hamid, "I want to go home. I don't think this is my place." He wanted to attain God just like this. Baba snaps his finger. Baba says, every person has a different temperament, different understanding, and every person is in a different state. For example, if a barber comes here, he may say, "Well, he doesn't look like me. He doesn't do what I do because I don't cut anybody's hair," Baba says. Baba's not a barber, so the barber can't relate to him. "I don't shave anybody's beard," so the barber thinks, "He's not for me." Then a washerman comes to me and he says, "Well, I don't think he's for me because I don't go out and wash people's clothes." So everybody wants the guru to be like him. And the guru doesn't do everything that they do, so then they say, "Well, this place is not for me." So everybody has this disease in his or her mind, and one feels, "Well, he doesn't look like me, he doesn't do what I do, he's not going to become you, you have to become him." So anyway, he left the field. So he's saying Hamid had bad understanding. He didn't understand that working in the field was a process of shakti, transmission of shakti, it's a way of doing it. So Muhammad was all right, the other one. The unnamed one, we'll call him Chip. Chip and Muhammad were there. So only Muhammad was left. Chip went home. He continued to work. He said, "Let me do the work." 1 year passed by. He was still working in the field. He did not meet Baba Musa again, nor did Baba Musa meet him. All that he told them was, "Go and work in the field. Keep working." Baba says, "Here, I speak so much. I give so many lectures. I give so many interviews. And here also, when people come up for darshan, I answer their questions. Neither do they attain anything, nor do I attain anything. So anyway, Baba Musa had told him, you go and work in the field, I'll call you. After 1 year passed by, all of a sudden, he felt this interest in his seva. He became interested in it. Then he felt this deep interest. Now you tell me, this is the interesting bit now. Baba says, he removed his watch because he did not want to see his watch. Here, all the people wear their watches to see when the time is up, when the alarm is going to ring. So he put his watch away. He kept working and working and working. As he kept working, this understanding began to rise and rise and rise. Then he began to wonder, I'm working here. Is this mere work, a job, a seva, or a yoga? So he's starting to gain something. What's that business about a watch?
It was time to quit.
No, why does Baba suddenly throw that in there? He saw somebody, yes. That's a typical thing. He saw somebody in the audience looking at their watch. That suddenly came out in this bizarre way in the talk. He gave up his watch. He didn't want to see his watch. Somebody was looking at, while he's talking. You know, they're looking, how long is this going to last? I didn't like that. He says, so Baba says, Shaivism asks, what object is there where there's no Shiva? What direction is there where there's no Shiva? What moment is there where there's no Shiva? What action is there where there's no Shiva? For a sensible person, all forms, all shapes, all colors, all actions, and all religions too, belong to him. All viruses belong to Shiva too. However, for us, they're all different. As this feeling arose inside, he began to experience happiness. So the understanding of Shaivism was spontaneously coming into him. And this is the marvel of satsang with the guru, is that knowledge is transmitted, as it were, by osmosis. It just happens. As you serve, as you work in the ashram, these things happen by transmission. Baba says, as joy began to increase inside, he forgot all about day and night. All that he did was work and work. I too have such people here, and some of them work in the kitchen, and some of them work in the amrit. The amrit is the little cafe that was there. So Baba's praising Chandra's crew and Bhimi's crew in the kitchen and amrit. Sometimes they tell me, we enjoy working more than chanting. Sometimes I have to drag them here to come to the chanting so other people can see that they do chant. That was literally true. That I've told you before that each department had its own philosophy. There were many philosophies there, and the philosophy in certain ones was you don't have to do anything but seva. Other ones said chanting is very important, but they said, no, nothing, satsang's not important, chanting's not important, meditation's not important, only seva's important. So then Baba had to literally drag them into the program, and they'd come and they'd sit there looking miserable. So he says, the best quality that they have is that they don't look at their watches. They say, we derive joy from working. So the reason a person does anything is because he wants this joy, not just for sadhana. So it's not to gain something later, but seva itself is filled with shakti, filled with joy. So Baba says, divine joy began to arise inside Hamid. As joy began to sprout inside, he began to experience, I am doing yoga, I am doing sadhana. Baba says, in our philosophies, the sages say, whatever work we do, we are worshipping you, the supreme principle. We are offering our service to you, the Supreme Principle. A Sufi saint, Kabir Das, put it very rightly. Kabir was a very well-known saint of India, one of Baba's favorite poets, Kabir. And he said, who can show the path to God? Who can reveal the knack to attain God without a guru? He said, the anguish of this world is really horrible. It's hard. For the sake of joy, for the want of joy, we do everything. We pursue our life. How do we attain joy? Now, do we attain joy or do we experience grief? This is your everyday experience. Hamid began to feel that God exists in all actions, and all the actions belong to God. As he did seva for 2 years, all his ego melted away, because it is this ego which makes you feel this is that person's work, this is that person's work. Don't worry about this and that seva. Guru seva is a medicine for ego. It's a medicine for the fever of ego. After 2 years, he began to experience consciousness permeating all his actions, consciousness pervading all of his actions, and all the actions belong to consciousness. Then the state of samadhi began to chase after him. So spontaneously, he would experience deep meditations. He did not have to chase after samadhi, but it began to pursue him. When I was, before I met Baba, I was chasing samadhi. I did practices intensely, hoping to break through and crack through and have that experience. But around Baba, it reversed. Samadhi started to chase me. I would go into deep meditation spontaneously, just doing what I was doing. Sometimes I had to fight it off, because if I sit in front of Baba, I didn't want to go into samadhi. So it was very different. This is what Baba's talking about. As he'd start working, all of a sudden, he would enter the state, and he'd be in that state for hours on end. All of a sudden, he'd come back to consciousness, and once again, he'd start cutting the grass. The moment you attain equanimity of mind, samadhi starts following you like your own shadow. If you chase after samadhi, then it's just like the shadow going ahead of you. Baba is saying that if you serve the guru, then all yoga pursues you. But if you pursue yoga, because you're pursuing yoga selfishly for yourself, then it's very elusive, very difficult to get. But if you serve the guru, it follows you. Samadhi slips away. It eludes you. As he performs his seva, he attained the state of samadhi. From within, knowledge arose. I'm doing great sadhana, he thought. Then one day Baba Musa went to the field where he was working. Now it was almost 3 years, 2¾ years, Baba says. Read that detail, 2¾ years. Today people want everything in the mail. In the mail they want enlightenment. In the mail they want sannyas and want to go to heaven. They want everything fast like that. Isn't that a delusion? So when it was almost 3 years, Baba Musa went to the place where he was working in the field. He was working. He wasn't ready to look here and there. Baba Musa stood there for a long time. He did not even lift his head to look at him because he'd left his watch under a tree. So he was so engrossed in his work, he didn't even notice the guru was standing there. Baba Musa went farther. Once again he returned. When he returned, still he did not look up. He had to take care of business over there, and he came back. Musa patted him and said, "Hey, Hamid." Hamid said, "Oh," he was surprised. "Tomorrow morning, meet me." In the morning, he went early. He said, Baba Musa said, "Now go, you've attained everything." He did not give him any mantra. He did not reveal to him any yoga. He did not explain to him the doctrine of philosophy. Nor did he teach him to hurt his nose. Nor did he teach him to poke his eyes. So he must mean this some yoga thing, you know. Nor did he teach him any therapy. Nor did he use any therapy on him. Nothing. He said, go leave, you've attained that. And he left with great joy. He left and stayed in one place. Then Hamid became a great guru. Many people began to go to him. His old friend, Chip, heard the news. He also went there to see him. When he saw him, he realized that he was a great being. He saw there was so much joy inside him. Many people were receiving his prasad with great reverence. Then he asked him, where did you attain this? Hamid said, from the same place where both of us were working. Chip said, how did you attain that? Hamid said, oh friend, with great faith I just continued to work and work. When 1 year passed by, I began to have interest in that. And the second year, I attained complete understanding. The third year, I attained this awareness that everything is Shiva. Consciousness permeates everything. Everything is yoga. Everything is meditation. Everything is knowledge and devotion. I attained this complete understanding. In the meantime, Baba Musa came and told me, you've attained everything. The moment he told me that, I felt it. And from within, that spoke. I am God, I am God. That said, I am that, I am God. When I attained that awareness, I became great. Baba, that's the story. Great story. This is the result of Guru Seva, Baba says. This is the power of Guru Seva. This is the greatness of Guru Seva. In this way, I can tell you millions of stories on Guru Seva. You can't buy this. You can say, well, you charge something for the intensive. Baba says, I don't receive any money. This building, these walls, they want that. The building wants it. The kitchen wants it. To do something, the Amrit wants it. The price of this is not $150. I'll tell you the price of this tomorrow night. The price of this yoga. Now this is the time for chanting. Now with great reverence we will chant God's name. We will chant God's name with joy. The world lives and exists in God's sound and God's word. This is the inner vibration. Through the tongue it manifests itself in the form of letters. Once again with reverence I welcome you all. We have many leftover questions. I will answer them tomorrow night. Satguru Nath Maharaj Ki Jai. Isn't that lovely? Baba.
We'll meditate now.